This episode is brought to you by Hill's Pet Nutrition. Every shelter pet deserves a second chance, and you're making it possible for thousands of them every day. Because when you feed your pet Hill's, you help feed a shelter pet, which helps make them healthy, happy, and more adoptable, changing their life forever. So they can change yours. Over 14 million shelter pets fed and adopted. Science did that. Visit hillspet.com/podcast to learn more.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hello and welcome to another video and podcast from Fantasy Football Scout. As we look ahead to Fantasy Premier League Game Week 33, it's team selection time as Mark, aka the FPL General, reveals his thoughts ahead of the weekend. My name is Joe. Mark, welcome. How are you?
I'm very well, Joe. Good to be back for another video. Feels like a while since we've done one. You had a nice trip away, I seen.
Yes.
To a great part of the world.
So, yes.
Yeah, back in action. It was a red arrow at the weekend, so I've kind of disengaged for a day or two, as is often the case after a red arrow, but looking forward to getting back into the swing of things, starting with this video today.
Definitely, yeah. So, yeah, I mean, I was away in Rome with the family last week, which was great. Good to see sunshine. I've forgotten what that looked like. Even wore shorts one of the days. Forgot what they looked like as well. So, I was a bit out of the loop, really. And so I've come back to it. And I did manage to get a green arrow, but only just, really. I'm sort of creeping up the rankings, but it's not that dramatic. Before we have a look and see how you got on in the game week, just a reminder, do press that like button and it really helps us out. And also do remember to subscribe to keep up to date with all our latest videos and podcasts wherever you get them. Okay, let's have a look at your team. Yeah, 58 points. So just above average. But obviously in this day and age, that's you need to get like at least 5-10 points above average to get a green arrow. So do you want to just quickly run through your team, who your stars and your flops were?
Yeah, so before I run through the team, the transfers, I had two free transfers going into the weekend, and the plan all week was very straightforward. I was going to get Isak in for Darwin, and I was going to get Phil Foden back in for Bukayo Saka. I needed to free up the Saka cash to do the Isak move. So then I was left in a panic on Saturday morning because the Foden news came through that he wasn't in the starting 11, and I kind of panicked into still making two transfers. Didn't really know which player to get in place of Saka. In the end, I just went for Odegaard, you know, went sideways. That one didn't work out. Saka scored. Isak didn't. Darwin got an assist. So the transfers were a bit of a disaster, but hopefully long-term Isak will do the business and Saka won't punish too much. Easier to make those moves because I am free hit 34, so I can get Darwin and Saka back for that game week. So just run through the team for the audio listeners. Petrovic in goal, disaster so far. Pedro Porro saved the game week right at the end with the 11-pointer, so it would have been a much bigger red arrow if it wasn't for Pedro Porro. Van Hecke in the 11 with 1 point. Gabriel, standard 6-pointer. Captain Cole Palmer was hopeful for that Sheffield United fixture, but just the assist in the end. Salah with 8, Son with 5, Odegaard blanked. Isak and Solanke blanked, and Haaland got the goal. Gusto didn't turn up. That is why Van Hecke went into the start 11 as an auto sub. So, as I said, free hit 34, one free transfer, so I need to use it. So we'll talk about that later.
Yeah, definitely. So we've got very different strategies. So as you said, you're a free hit 34. You've already wildcarded. So the moves that you make from now, really, ignore 34. It's all about sort of preparing for double game week 37 and making sure you've got good players in between. For me, I'm sort of the opposite. I'm using transfers to sort of dead end my way out of 34, and then I'll wildcard out of that in 35. But I suspect from 35, 36, our teams, even though with different strategies, will probably look very similar. Lots of
players. I think we'll get divergence after 35 with the late wild cards and stuff. Looking at my overall rank as well, I feel like it's a season that's never really taken off. My overall right now, I think, is 103K, which is the exact same as it was in game week 14. Yeah. So it's been a case of just treading water for a long, long time now. I'm still hopeful, though, because, you know, I do have the bench boost as well for 37. Yep. I always have a loose target of top 50K. So it feels like the season's just kind of playing out so far. But again, hopefully there's a bit of a boost to come over the next couple of game weeks.
Yeah, certainly. I mean, it's got the Salah, the midfield, really, Salah, Palmer, Son and Garnacho. I don't know if you, the week before, while I was in Rome, I got a pleasant surprise of Haaland not playing, Saka not playing, but Garnacho came in. That enabled him to come in. Presumably the similar thing happened to you.
Yeah, exact same, because I had both those players. So it was nice to actually get some Garnacho points for a change.
Yeah, so it just cements his place as the absolute perfect first sub. And of course, during the doubles, we'll be all fielding him. But a brilliant first sub that you need, can get those double-digit hauls when you need them. And let's have a look at the season ticker just to see what we're dealing with here. So obviously with 34, we'll chat next week about what your free hit 34 team will look like. But it's Sheffield United, Liverpool, Everton, Arsenal, Crystal Palace, Bournemouth and Wolves all have two fixtures. So I presume it'll be dominated by that. Are you thinking of having any single game weekers in? I'm thinking of fielding Garnacho at home to Sheffield United. And also Man City away to Brighton. So I'm thinking of fielding Haaland.
Yeah, to be honest, I haven't looked at it too much yet, because I'm very much a manager that just plays one game week at a time. And when there is a free hit available and you're just going to build a whole new team anyway, I'm just going to cross that bridge when it comes. But I'm sure when I get there, I'm going to find it extremely difficult to leave out a few single game workers, you know, Haaland, Garnacho, the ones you mentioned. So I think it's unlikely that I'll have 15 doublers or 11 doublers in the starting 11. There probably will be one or two that have very, you know, good players, good teams, good fixtures that will probably make the cut.
Yeah. And the next double, quickly, is game week 35. Chelsea face Aston Villa, Tottenham. Not great fixtures. Tottenham, even worse, perhaps Arsenal and Chelsea fixtures for them. My thing, I mean, I'll be wildcarding then. You'll just be using transfers for that one. But I'm already thinking, I'm not sure I want to treble up on them. I like Palmer. I like Son. I like a Spurs defender like Porro. I like possibly getting Gusto. But other than that, I'm not really that interested. What's your thinking as a non-wildcarder with 35?
I'm already tripled up on Chelsea, and I'm asking myself, what on earth am I doing? You know, why? There's probably a reason why I'm 103K and not 13K with some of the decisions I've made. So Chelsea have just been a bit, you know, they've been awful, especially defensively. So I've got Petrovic. I have paired him with Kelleher, so I'm hoping I get one more game out of Kelleher this week, and then I can bin Kelleher off at some point. I've got Gusto, been very frustrating recently, you know, no shows, zero pointers, but hopefully when it comes to the double, he'll put up some kind of decent score. And Cole Palmer's obviously a must-have for a double game week. But aside from that, if I wasn't already tripled up on Chelsea, I wouldn't be in a rush to get there. And then Tottenham, I've got Son and Porro. And it might just stay as two. There's nobody really putting their hand up. You know, Richarlison's been injured. There's rotation among the other attackers. And I certainly don't want a second defensive asset from Spurs. So, we'll talk about my transfer soon. But it's a question of, do I get a player for 35 with a double, or do I go elsewhere?
Yeah, I mean, if I do treble up on either of them, it might be Spurs, because I quite like, just a sort of as a one-week punt in 35, some of those are fringe players. And we're going to talk about some midfield options in a minute, and there'll be a Spurs player in there. But someone like Werner, who's an attacker in the game, Brennan Johnson, Richarlison, if he's back, all of these, I don't mind limited minutes just for 1 week in a double game week. You never know. Someone like Werner could end up with a good score. You just never know. He's not the player I want long term, definitely. But I think they're okay options, possibly.
I think looking at my situation as well, I'm looking at a midfield transfer this week. Mm. If Tottenham had a better game week 33 fixture, I'd probably be more interested. They are Newcastle away this weekend. If that was, say, a Bournemouth or Sheffield United at home, then maybe I'd be more inclined to go there. I'm not going to rule it out. I'm kind of looking ahead as well. You know, it looks good having a double in 35. But they've also got Liverpool away on the other side of that as well. So it's, yeah, it's a tricky one on Tottenham.
And also looking at these fixtures here, 37, it's not up here yet what double game weeks are going to be, but the likely ones are Chelsea to face Nottingham Forest and Brighton, so that's quite good. Tottenham with Burnley, Man City with Fulham, Tottenham, Brighton, Newcastle, Chelsea, that's quite tough. Manchester United, Arsenal and Newcastle were both at home. Newcastle with Brighton and Manchester United. So that's something you're going to be planning for with transfers as well. So that's probably going to influence your decision making this week, especially around midfielders.
Yeah, I need to be careful because, of course, you know, you can't bank a transfer going into a free hit. So no matter what, I'll only have one free transfer for 35. I need to be careful with my budget as well. I probably need to look ahead at 35 and think which players might I want to bring in that week. You know, could James Maddison be back into thinking, you know, I need to make sure there's enough cash available to make one straight move in that kind of scenario. So I do need to be careful with whatever move I make this week.
And two other things of note about the fixtures coming up. Spurs obviously missed 34. That doesn't bother you because you're free hitting. For those like me, that means like Son will go that week for someone. Midfielders. So midfielders are also on my mind as well for 34. The other thing of note is the players that we're not going to go for, but will completely outscore all the double game week options that we could get. For example, Brian Mbeumo back scoring for Brentford. Tony should be fit. I understand that it was his benching was more sort of precautionary to get him ready for the final games of the season. But Brentford absolutely top of Fantasy Football Scout season tick in terms of difficulty. Sheffield United at home next, great fixture. Then 34, they got Luton and 35, Everton. And then they got Fulham, Bournemouth and Newcastle. It doesn't get better than that. Newcastle's defence a bit patchy at the moment. Sheffield United might be okay for enablers as well over that period. I mean, they have the likes of Brentford, Burnley, Nottingham Forest and Everton over this period. And Newcastle have good fixtures in general. So they're two things to sort of note as well. Spurs lacking a fixture in 34, but also those single game weekers that I mentioned earlier. But yeah, no one's going to get Tony, and he's going to outscore everyone, I think.
Yeah, I had him for a wee while, and then I lost him on the wild card. And you mentioned Mbeumo as well. I would absolutely love to own Brennan Mbeumo this week for the Sheffield United game, but. Mm-hmm. I mean, I could go there as a 1 week punt, possibly, but I'm probably booking in an extra transfer. But it's one to consider, and I think we should mention Reguilon is back on the menu as well, in a season where we are just really looking at attacking defenders rather than clean sheet defenders. That looking at those fixtures, Reguilon, Sheffield United, Luton, Everton, Fulham, Bournemouth, even Newcastle, there could be a few attack returns in there. So he's a good defensive option, even if you just ignore the double game weeks.
Earlier this week, I did a free hit video, sort of if I was free hitting this week. And Brian Mbeumo was in my picks there. If you are free hitting, it's unlikely anyone's going to free hit this week. But if you're looking for what is more likely, though, is people looking for a short-term punt. Maybe they're free hitting in 34 and then wild carding in 35. So any player you get in, you might not want long term anyway, but I do think with Sheffield United at home, Brian Mbeumo or Tony could be good options there. You specifically are looking for a midfielder, so it's Odegaard, I understand, that you might be considering moving.
Yeah, so just the backstory on that was, like I said, the plan last week was to get Foden in that position, but then when the new scheme 3 wasn't playing, I went for an Odegaard kind of as a one-week punt, maybe a longer-term pick, but more likely just a one-week punt. And then the plan was to get Foden this week, and now he's picked up a knock in the Champions League, so it's probably enough to scare me off again this week. So 2 weeks in a row, I might go somewhere else. And if nothing else pops up in the team, if there's no other major issues, then it might just be Odegaard straight back out again for another punt and just kind of play the fixtures with that position. Now, I could get a Tottenham asset with double gaming 35 in mind, or I could just take a longer term view and seeing Newcastle at the top of the ticker there obviously brings someone like an Anthony Gordon into the picture. So yeah, interested to hear your thoughts on these options.
Okay, well, I've got a table. I've just done this by minutes per expected goal involvement, non-penalty, over the last six matches. So it's just the last six matches. I've sort of tailored it slightly for your strategy. So no wild cards, free hitting in 34, but you're bench boosting in 37, or at least making sure you've got transfers for 37. So I've highlighted some of the players that I think you might go for. There's obviously other players in here like Salah that you've already got. We can sort of sketch over them. So top of this in terms of minutes per expected goal involvement, non-penalty, is Salah. So a lot of people are thinking, oh, well, he's missing a lot of chances. But he has got five goals and two assists in his last six appearances. So he's not doing too badly. But it's the next name that could be of interest to you as someone who is looking to use transfers to gear up for Spurs double in 35. Spurs also double in 37. And he's quite on form at the moment. It's Brennan Johnson at Tottenham. He's only 5.8. Scored two goals, got four assists and 36 points over his last six matches. His minutes per expected goal involvement, non-penalty, every 86.5 minutes. So that's pretty much a goal involvement a game. Exactly what you want for a 5.8 midfielder. I think if I was you and I was looking to get, and I was free hitting in 34 and I was looking to get a good player, and I actually think that the Newcastle game, Newcastle's defence, is there for the taking. So I think Brennan Johnson is a pretty good, he would be my top target, I think, weirdly.
Yeah, I'm trying to warm to the idea of Brennan Johnson. I think I'm falling into the trap of being kind of tied to Maddison from seasons gone by. But if I look at this season only, you know, Maddison in recent times, early substitutions in every game, no attacking returns. He's just not firing as he was earlier in the season. And I guess the hope would be if I did go Maddison over Johnson, that Maddison's minutes would be more secure long term and he would have an upturn in form. I just, with Johnson, he's having a very good season. He's a very good price. He would open a couple of other doors for future transfers. For example, upgrading Lascelles and Kelleher whenever the time comes, which is attractive. But then there's Richarlison to come back in. There's Kulusevski. There's Timo Werner. There's a lot of options for Postecoglou, and that just scares me off a little bit. Okay. And like I mentioned earlier with the Newcastle fixture this week, yeah, that's probably fine. But is there better fixtures out there possibly for a short-term punt? I think so. So I don't see myself going there. This is Wednesday. That could change by Friday night. But I think I'm still more likely to get a Maddison back than a Johnson, which again, maybe I'm being too, you know, there's too much in the bank there from Maddison over previous seasons, whereas Johnson maybe is the man of the moment.
Another player that probably won't interest you with your strategy because you can get him in on a free hit 34 when you really want him. That's Diaz at Liverpool. But it is worth pointing out, I think he is a good option if you're on a different strategy and you just want to get a good player in for a good team. And that's Diaz at Liverpool. He's got three goals and an assist in his last six appearances. Minutes per expected goal involvement, non-penalty. For 89.5 minutes, that's goal involvement every match. Given matches are, you know, getting 10, 12, 15 minutes longer these days, you know, that gives him even more opportunity. He's created 16 chances over that period. I think he's a really strong option, but probably not for your particular strategy.
Yeah, you say that, but I don't think I should avoid him just because I've got the free hit in 34, because he could be great in 33, he could be great in 35. And I deliberately only went for two Liverpool picks on... No, I went for three, but I've sold Darwin, so now I've only got two. I've got Kelleher and Salah, so I've got the door open for a Diaz if I want to go there. And again, I like the fixture this week. I think it's attractive, and maybe he's just a season keeper. Mm. You know, it might mean I can't get to Trent, for example, but Diaz is in a purple patch at the moment, and he is a differential. Like I said, I don't think many people on my strategy will go there. So maybe there's actually an opportunity to get, you know, a great pick in from one of these teams fighting for the Premier League title. So Diaz is certainly in my thoughts.
Next name is Foden. As you said, was your top target last week, would ordinarily be, but he has got a flag on him. But it's worth pointing out that it could be just precautionary. I don't think it was that serious. He could be rested for this ahead of that crucial Real Madrid tie. The second leg of that in the Champions League. But he could also start as well. And I think, you know, he could certainly do some damage. I mean, this is the prime fixture, really. Man City at home to Luton. They totally annihilated Luton last time they played them. So I expect goals, whoever's playing. So you really want the City attacking coverage. It could be worth a gamble as well. But then you're at the mercy of the leakers on Saturday. But yeah, he scored 6 goals. He's had 13 chances created, no assists. He is on the assists imminent table for those who want to have a look at that video, which is also available on Fantasy Football Scouts YouTube channel. What are you going to do about him? I mean, what are you looking out for from what Pep might say?
It's probably, regardless of what Pep says, it probably won't influence my thoughts because Pep won't help the situation in terms of whether it's a good idea to buy him or not. It is sandwiched between the Champions League. Basically, the short story is I know I want Foden for the running. It's just when do I, you know, when is the entry point? I thought it was last week. Now, then I thought this week would be the next best time. But unless there's a definite team news that he plays, I don't think I can take the risk now after the knock. Maybe they wrap him in cotton wool for the following, you know, Champions League game. So, and then free hit 34, so it's probably going to be 35 now by the time I get to Foden, which is fine. I'll just make sure I've got, again, it's probably going to be in this midfield position. You know, I'm kind of going to bounce around maybe a few players before Foden eventually comes in. So, yeah, unless there's definite news that we can rely on, I think I'm going to go elsewhere.
Okay. A couple more players that I don't think you'll go for with your strategy, but they're worth mentioning. Elise at Crystal Palace should be back to fitness. These are the last 6 matches he has played, even though he has been injured recently. But he's had 4 goals and 3 assists at 7 attacking returns and in minutes per expected goal involvement, non-penalty every 109 minutes. So it's getting on for a goal involvement a match. A really strong option. I think a lot of people go for Eze, who I'll mention as well, though I don't think you'll go for because you can get either of those or both on a 34 free hit. But he has 3 goals and an assist in his last 6 appearances. A minutes per expected goal involvement, non-penalty, every 132 minutes and not as strong. But Elise has created 12 chances, Eze 10. Yeah, it's worth mentioning both of them there. I guess for your free hit, you're looking at one or maybe both of them.
Yeah, I think Eze's almost definitely going to be in the free hit squad, I would imagine. And when it's Liverpool away beforehand, there's certainly no need for me to go there. So, yeah, I've kind of just pushed all the Crystal Palace assets aside, like Munoz as well, and maybe Dean Henderson, and I'll just come back to them for the free hit 34.
Okay, we've also got Son in the list, already in your side, and will be a popular captaincy candidate as well. I think Palmer should get the edge in 35, but Son might. I actually think Son's quite a good captaincy this week. He'll play, and he's against a fragile high line. That's Son O'Clock, I think. When in terms of goals, to use a terrible mixed metaphor involving timepieces and goals. But anyway, Son has scored 3 goals and 3 assists over his last 6 appearances. Havertz is another player that you won't go for because you could possibly get him in on a free hit in 34. I've gone for the double. I've succumbed to the double Arsenal defence. I was wondering why I wasn't sort of moving up the rankings and now I've moved up slightly by getting Ben White. But yeah, a lot of people getting double Arsenal defence in. And if they've got Saka as well. Havertz could be your Odegaard replacement, perhaps. But certainly probably for 34. But if you weren't free hitting then, I think he seems to be the preferred option up front for them.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Yeah, again, last Saturday morning, I think back to my thought process. It was a 1 week punt instead of getting Foden. And I did look at Havertz when I was looking at Odegaard, among a few other players as well. And I always, just the style of manager I am, I fall on the safety minute side of things. And Odegaard always plays, you know, close to 90. Havertz can play 70. But when it's a 1 week punt, maybe I should have been a bit more aggressive, and you know, who's the player plays for the forward and gets the bigger chances. So there's a little bit of hindsight regret in that one with Havertz. And yeah, it sounds bizarre to go Odegaard to Havertz this week, but if I decide that Havertz is actually the better FPL pick, then why wouldn't you? You know, so I'm not going to rule it out, but it's unlikely. It's again one to look at on free hit 34 probably.
Yeah, 8 attacking returns in his last 6 appearances, 4 assists and 4 goals. Yeah, definitely an option. I think if I was free hitting, I'd be very tempted, I must admit. But I, you know, I'm where I am with my Arsenal players. I'm not going to shuffle them around because they're all good. Son, I've already mentioned. Eze, we've mentioned. Next name, De Bruyne on the list as well. So you're considering Foden. De Bruyne was rested. It's, as a former De Bruyne owner this season, I found that the rests are unexpected. It's not to do with an injury or anything like that, or an injury that we know about. It's just he might play, he might not, and that's not good enough for 10.3 for me, and I imagine not for you. Nevertheless, yeah, 2 assists, 2 goals, last 6.
Again, going back to last Saturday morning, you get the news that Foden doesn't play. One of my first instincts was get De Bruyne for a week, but it was finances. You know, he's 10.3. I was 2 million odd short. And then you watch him absolutely rip it up and you think, what could have been? But again, at the same time, you watch him rip it up and you think, this actually doesn't really hurt because almost nobody has him in the rankings where I am and stuff like that. So yeah, again, if I could get there again this week and I had the money, I'd be tempted. But I think he was ill midweek as well, vomiting. So that doesn't fill me with confidence ahead of the weekend either. So yeah, just the price is not right there.
Palmer is the next name on the list. Everyone knows about how good he is. He's in pretty much all teams around where I am in the rankings, probably where you are as well. 6 goals and 3 assists. That's 9 attacking returns in his last 6 appearances. That's amazing. 20 chances created. De Bruyne has had 25 in his last 6. What's interesting about him is we're talking about who's going to start for City and Pep rotation and things like that. Salah is at home to Crystal Palace, a great option for the captaincy, and he'll get 90. But Palmer as well. I am seriously considering like not bothering with the stress and just captain one of Palmer or Salah. Would you for game week 33?
Yeah, because you look at Erling Haaland and you look at Luton and you think, right, no brainer. But then you look at Haaland recently and his performances, they haven't been overly inspiring. And I don't think Haaland against Luton is an automatic captain pick as it would have been, you know, 2, 3, 4 months ago. So I think a lot of people will be second guessing that one. And when we have loads of other good options, you know, Palmer's been so consistent this season, he's got a good home fixture, you've got Salah as well. I think the captaincy will be pretty split again this week, which is good for the game. And and I'm certainly not locked in on Haaland just yet.
And another name perhaps for the captaincy, probably not this week because it's against Aston Villa, is Saka, who possibly might be, he always seems to be hobbling off matches these days and then plays, but he did miss out the other day. But nevertheless, worth mentioning, got 4 goals and 2 assists, was in your team. Are you tempted to get him back sort of game week 35-ish if you, with your strategy?
I just wish I didn't sell him. That's the short answer. Again, going back to the thought process, he was yellow flagged. He didn't even make the bench midweek, so I was slightly concerned that there was a chance that he could miss out again the weekend. And of course, everything went wrong for me with those 2 transfers, but I'm probably more to blame for that than anyone else. And, you know, I'll just learn from that decision. I would go straight back to Saka. If I, again, cash is short, I've only got, I think I'm 0.2 million short to go Odegaard to Saka. I would happily do that if I could. But again, Saka will come back on the free hit in 34. And then I'll need to think about, you know, I've got Foden to think about, I've got Saka to think about. So I need to be careful with budget and how I'm going to fit all these guys back in. But certainly think Saka, I don't think it'll be just free hit 34 that he's back in my team. I'd like to get him back in, you know, as a permanent fixture.
Yeah, that's a decision I'll make as a 35 wildcarder. He plays Tottenham away, so that sort of anything goes in the North London derby. But then he's got Bournemouth at home in 36, Manchester United away, another great fixture for attackers, and then finishing the season game week 38, Everton at home. They could need to totally win that to win the league. I mean, it could all be wrapped up by them, but that's a real decision for me because he's taking up a valuable midfield slot, a lot of money, as you said. You can't get to him at the moment, But I do wonder if having the likes of Salah and Saka, even without a double game week from 35 onwards, could just not mess around. Just, yeah, don't try anything fancy. Just get good players, good teams, be done with it.
Yeah, and that's the way I like to play FPL. So, again, that's why I'm so keen to get Foden back as soon as he's fit and available. And, like I said, Saka as well. Just have the key pieces from these big teams, and you can't go too far wrong with that approach.
Definitely. But I do think he's in very serious danger of not being in my team from 35 onwards, and many other teams who wildcard. So it could be an opportunity there because he is good. Let's have a look at your bus team. So given all that, mind you, want to run through your picks, who you're captaining, and yeah, see if you're any closer to that midfield move.
So yeah, goalkeeper, hoping to get another start out of Kelleher before Alisson's back. I think he is back in training, so hopefully one more game from Kelleher. If not, Petrovic at home to Everton is, I'm going to say it's fine. It's probably not really fine, but at least on paper it looks okay. Gusto, Gabriel and Pedro Porro at the back. All three defenders have attacking potential. Hopefully Gusto plays. Cole Palmer, Mohamed Salah, Odegaard and Heung-Min Son. Up front, Haaland currently has the armband. Isak, Tottenham at home, and Solanke, Manchester United at home. On the bench, Garnacho for sub. Van Hekke with a fine fixture away to Burnley if I need him. And then I've got the injured Lascelles third sub. So going through that table of options, I don't think there's a standout. And maybe the answer is just stare me right in the face. Maybe I just keep Odegaard. Is he all that bad of an option at home to Aston Villa? But then I ask myself, what would I do with the transfer instead with only 0.2 in the bank? There's not much I can do with the strikers. I want Isak long-term. Solanke upgrades, there's not a huge amount that scream out to me. The midfield's obviously fine, apart from Odegaard if I want to sell him. And again, defensively, you know, maybe an 8 Nuri, but I'm not going to lose Gabriel or Porro to make a move like that. So it's this kind of frustrating one where you can't save your transfer going into a free hit week. So maybe it will be. And again, I could just burn the transfer. You know, I don't usually do it, but if I come to Friday night and think, you know what, there's nothing I can do to improve it. And if I think Odegaard is the best pick from that table, if we throw him in there, then maybe I will just burn the transfer and go with this.
How much money have you got in the bank again for this?
I think it's only 0.2.
Okay. I don't know if you've got enough for some of... Well, I mean, what I like to do in this type of situation, if this was me, is I look at the weakest link first. And Lascelles is your weakest link in terms of you're going to want a bench boost in 37. So that's a transfer you're going to want to make because Lascelles won't play this season. So you look at the sort of defensive options in 37. You're looking at Newcastle. They play twice in that week. Manchester United play twice there. So I don't think you can go to it, but it's just for other people who might be in this situation. The likes of Dalot, Manchester United. I'd be quite happy to get him in. Stick him and keep him on the bench until 37. Burn at Newcastle. Much maligned. But nevertheless, I don't know if you might better just about get him.
To cut in on you on that, if I sell Lascelles, I've only got 4 million. So my my plan is to get Maguire at 4.2, but not until I can do it, obviously. So I'm looking around game week 35 when Maguire plays Burnley. So Van Hekke is fine. He's a game week 37 bench boost pick, as is Garnacho, as is Petrovic. So Lascelles to Maguire is kind of penciled in for later.
Okay.
So that's why I can't make the move this week.
Okay, yeah, no, that's absolutely fine, especially in your situation, as you said. One of the reasons I brought it up really is because other people might be in a similar situation, similar strategy, and they've got the likes of Lascelles, and they're thinking, well, you know, what should I do here? If you can afford to, I would consider upgrading. But obviously, in your position, you've already pinpointed a time to do that. But yeah.
Yeah, I'm just looking at, again, alternatives. You know, what do you think about... Solanke to Rasmus Højlund as an option. I think I can just about afford that one.
I really like Solanke against Manchester United this week at home, and Manchester United giving up a hatful of chances.
Dangerous to get rid of a Bournemouth striker for a Manchester United striker in the same fixture, doesn't it?
Yeah, definitely. And you've also got Garnacho there on your bench if you wanted to field a Manchester United attacker who's better as an FPL asset at the moment.
I suppose the attraction with Højlund, Bournemouth this week, Burnley in 35 after the free hits, Crystal Palace, double game week, and then Brighton. So maybe that is one for me to have a think about.
I mean, I think Odegaard is probably the only one I would consider moving because of future moves that you'd want to make ahead of the double game week. So I think you are right to pinpoint Odegaard. And I think if you can get to Foden from him, and Foden looks like he could be playing, I would go there. But also, yeah, I mean, I do like that. Just preparing for 35, getting someone like Brennan Johnson in. I do think Newcastle's a good game. Then you come straight back into Brennan Johnson in 35. And if you don't want him, well, you can move him on to Foden. He's like a placeholder.
A player as well we didn't mention on the table, Anthony Gordon, maybe because he has Spurs at home this week. Good. But then other side of the free hit, Sheffield United 35, Burnley 36, double 37. So maybe, you know, maybe Gordon is the answer. I've been saying for ages that I regret getting rid of Gordon on wildcard 20. So maybe that's where I should go back to.
Yeah, no, I completely agree. I think Gordon is a great shout on that same proviso that you're just investing in doubles coming up. Gordon is not in my team. I don't think he has been this season, but a player I'm definitely looking at in 35. Because he's got such a strong home record as well. So he's good to get in now at home to Tottenham. And Tottenham concede. Newcastle concede. I would be absolutely gobsmacked if this Tottenham-Newcastle game is not a goal fest somewhere.
Yeah, again, another reason for a Johnson or a Gordon. So maybe it is between those two.
Definitely. Thanks so much for your time. It's been really... good for me as after being away for a little while to sort of get back into the swing of things and hopefully it's been useful for you as well. So good luck with your decision and good luck all those watching and listening until next week. Mark, thanks for your time. See you soon.
Bye-bye.